It's Your Turn with Dave Mularkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's Your Turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's Your Turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's Your Turn with Dave Mularkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn. Kind of a gloomy day today. I've seen a couple of times where it looked like the sun was trying to pop out. In fact, I think it did for about 10 seconds sometime mid-morning. But by and large, it's a gray day. Temperature is okay. Nothing to write home about. We're in the mid and upper 50s. But could be worse, I guess, huh? Yeah. Last day of April. Can you believe that? Wow. Open talk to begin the program today. We also have guests lined up. We're going to be talking with Heidi King. She is the a deputy administrator with the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. And they are starting a new public service campaign as of today, I think, or maybe tomorrow, about driving impaired under the influence of marijuana. Not alcohol. Driving impaired under the influence of marijuana. So we'll talk with Heidi about that a little bit later. We're also going to be chatting about one of the last events in the Performing Arts Series this school year at Butler County Community College. And that is the final appearance of the year, the final concert of the year by the Pittsburgh Philharmonic. They will be coming to Suck Up Theater in the not-too-distant future. So we'll be chatting about that a little bit later today as well. But first of all, open talk phone number is 283-2525. I have to ask you today, do you believe Dr. Phil McGraw? You've heard this story, right, of Dr. Phil, who slammed a Slippery Rock University recently in an interview. We had this story for you yesterday. It was on the Pittsburgh TV news last night as well. Phil McGraw was talking about this scandal where some celebrities and super rich people have bribed, what amounted to bribed colleges to get their kids into so-called prestigious institutions. And Dr. Phil was talking about it, and he said, well, I think more it's more a thing of status. You know, they want to be able to say their kids went to Harvard or Yale and not someplace like Slippery Rock. Well, you can imagine the uproar that ensued among Slippery Rock alums and students. And Dr. William Berry, the president of Slippery Rock, penned an open letter to Phil McGraw, Dr. Phil, on Saturday night and said, you know, what the heck's going on here? Well, then, I assume you're familiar with that story in the last couple of days. But then Phil McGraw, Dr. Phil, issued an apology. And in it, he says, well, I'm very sorry, he said, I just made up that name. I didn't really know there was a Slippery Rock. I just made up that name. Now, the first time I heard that, I just laughed. What? Can you believe that? I just made it up. I didn't really know there was a Slippery Rock. Wow. I mean, if that isn't a big fib, I don't know what is. He just picked that name out of the air. Why couldn't he just admit that he was wrong and that it was a stupid thing to say? Why did he have to add, I didn't even know there was a Slippery Rock? What a joke, huh? Some of these people, you hear them, you just want to shake your head. So my question is, do you believe Dr. Phil? Or do you believe he was lying when he said he just made up the name Slippery Rock? 283-2525 is our number. 283-2525. Do you believe him? He's still on TV, by the way. Started as a spinoff from Oprah, but still on. Okay, let's see what people have to say. Hi, caller. This is Dave Mularkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn. Do you believe Dr. Phil?
No, I do not.
I can't believe that he would say something like that when it just appears so obvious that he's lying.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. I believe last week on the news in the morning, you said something about tax relief for senior citizens, you know, on the news?
Tax relief for senior citizens?
Well, a freeze, I meant to say.
Try to refresh my memory a little bit more. I do a lot of news stories over a week's time. This was for certain seniors. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head who had been paying taxes or lived in a house for 5 years or something like that. I think this was a bill that was being talked about in Harrisburg. It's
okay.
Not the law of the land yet, but there was some lawmaker who was introducing it or was going to or something like that. That's all I heard.
That's why I was kind of curious because, you know, I would like to check into it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't have
like
it off
you
the...
Said, it's not the law yet.
No, and I don't know whether it will
ever
be the law. I mean, they've been talking about property tax relief for as long as I can remember in Harrisburg, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you,
and,
too.
It never seems to...
Thank you for your time.
Sure. Thanks very much. There was actually a referendum on that. It's got to be, I don't know, 10 years ago, something like that. And it was voted down in a statewide referendum, property tax reform. They've tried other things. Supposedly, whenever Pennsylvania legalized casinos, I guess that was about 7 or 8, 10 years ago now, that was supposed to provide relief. Did you see any? Then there was something called the Homestead Act. Remember that? And that was supposed to provide tax relief for property owners. It really has never amounted to much of anything, if anything. And I don't know whether it will amount to anything this time or not. I do vaguely recall that story from a couple of weeks ago, but I don't recall the details, and I do not remember the name of the state lawmaker who was talking about it. It seems to me it was a state lawmaker from the eastern part of Pennsylvania. I'm not sure. Okay, back to Dr. Phil. Do you believe Dr. Phil, or is he lying when he says, I just made up Slippery Rock. I didn't know that was a real school. I didn't mean to slam you. I'm sure it's a great place. I don't believe him. I don't believe him for a minute. Another issue in the news today, and it is local state representative Darrell Metcalf of the 12th District, who held a press conference this morning in Harrisburg. I have not had a chance to listen to any of the tape of that press conference, but he is pushing a bill, House Bill 286, which says that a health provider, a doctor, could not harass, coerce, scold, or threaten a patient or a parent for refusing to get their kids immunized. So Representative Metcalf is stepping into this national controversy of vaccination versus the non-vaxxers. The vast majority of doctors say, get your kids vaccinized. The Centers for Disease Control say, get your kids vaccinated. There are a group of people who don't want to do it. I think it all started with some actress, wasn't there, who had a child with autism, and she claimed that it was getting a shot that 99% of doctors say this is not true. Representative Metcalf stepping into the battle. 283-2525 is the number, open talk. Hi, caller, this is Dave. Go right ahead, it's your turn.
Dave, I was just calling
yes.
On the Phil McGraw statement about Slippery Rock College.
Yes, uh-huh.
And I think he really stuck his foot in it when he did that. And I think the important thing, he made the statement on TV to the nation.
Mm-hmm.
I think his apology, he wrote a letter of apology, I understand, but that apology letter didn't go to all the alumni and all the people across the United States Slippery Rock College, as a fine institution, and I have a nephew that graduated from there, and he's a teacher up in State College, and he's done very well for the past 29 years, and he's about to retire, actually. And you know, of course, they educate people in a variety of fields who I'm sure over time have been very successful in their various careers. But I think the important thing is he made his statement on TV. He should make his apology on TV so it goes out to everybody nationwide who heard his statement. I think that would only be proper.
Well, I agree with his statement that these super rich celebrities who have paid all this money, in one case it was $500,000 get their kid into whatever it was, Southern Cal or UCLA or something. I agree with him when he says, you know, they're just looking for status. You know, they want to be able to say their kid went to some so-called prestigious school. But you don't have to drag Slippery Rock's name into it and then, to me at least, obviously lie about it afterwards.
And actually, Dr. Phil, I believe he went to a small school. It may have been the size of Slippery Rock. It may be smaller than Slippery Rock. His first four years.
It could be. I don't know. I just find it extremely difficult. Maybe I shouldn't say outright lied. I just find it extremely difficult to believe him when he says, "Well, I just made that name up. I had no idea that was a real school." That just doesn't sound plausible to me. You know,
who especially him would pull Slippery Rock out of the air?
Yeah, out of nowhere. I mean,
that makes no sense at all.
It doesn't to me either. By the way, the president of Slippery Rock, I don't know whether you know him or not. His name is William Berry. He's new on the job. He just took over last summer, so he hasn't even been there for a year yet. He took the high road on this. He wrote an open letter to McGraw on Saturday night whenever this news broke. But he took the high road, and he said, thank you very much. Slippery Rock certainly doesn't cost as much as Harvard or Yale, but it's a fine institution. We've had surgeons graduate. We've had four-star generals graduate from Slippery Rock and so on, similar to what you said. But then he said, well, thank you for calling Slippery Rock to the attention of the nation. And then he invited him to campus this fall. So that will be interesting to see if McGraw, Dr. Phil, has the guts to actually come to Slippery Rock in the fall. I'd love to see that, wouldn't you?
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Well, I don't know. I don't watch Dr. Phil. I put him not much above... Maury Povich and who's that other guy that's on Jerry Springer?
they're all the same.
I kind of lump them all together.
I spend a lot of time at home. I'm an invalid, so I have a lot of time on my hands, and I do watch him in the afternoon. However, I will certainly be. Watching this afternoon and the next couple days, because I'd love to see him eat some crow and make the apology that he so needs to take care of.
I would too. I would just offer you one caution. My guess is that show is taped, videotaped well in advance, so
The
shows that are airing this week have probably been in the can for a while. But that would be my guess. I don't know.
Yeah, but I'm sure he could have his people insert, do the apology and insert it into a show.
That's true. He could
even today.
Yeah,
even today.
Tack it on at the end or something like that. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for your call.
Okay, Dave.
Good to chat with you today.
Bye now.
Yeah, nice to have you with us. 283-2525 is our number. Open talk today. Do you believe Dr. Phil when he says he just made up the name Slippery Rock in this? I didn't even know there was such a school. I just made it up. I don't believe him. 283-2525 is the number. One of our sponsors on the program today is Butler Motor Tours. Oh, boy, do they have some great trips lined up for this summer and even into the fall. Butler Motor Tours, they're a local company. They're on South Monroe Street here in Butler. They've been here for more than 75 years. You can get information on all of their trips, by the way, online at their website, which is pretty easy to remember. It's butlerbus.com, butlerbus.com. If you're looking for just a one-day trip, they have a nice excursion to ride on the Titusville Railroad. That's coming up in mid-June. One-day trip. Nice, you know. Maybe that's all the time you have for vacationing in the next couple of months. Or maybe, you know, maybe that's all the sort of vacation you can afford this year. That's all that's in the family budget. It's a nice ride down through the Oil Creek Valley, the Titusville Railroad. That's June 15th. They're also taking a trip to Niagara Falls. When's the last time you were at Niagara Falls? That'll be in late June. That's a three-day trip. They're going to New England for a trip called Maine Magical Summer. That's in late June, and that's a week-long trip. Beautiful state, Maine. I've vacationed there a couple of times. They're also going again to Noah's Ark. That's the recreation of Noah's Ark. It's just over the Ohio River from Cincinnati in northern Kentucky. It's a relatively new tourist attraction, draws big crowds. While you're there, you'll visit the Creation Museum as well. That's in July. They're taking a trip to Branson, a summer show tour to Branson in mid-July, and many, many more trips too. Butler Motor Tours online at butlerbus.com. Check them out. At their website, you'll find all the trips. You'll find the dates, the itinerary, the cost, and everything else. Butler Motor Tours online at butlerbus.com. Butlerbus.com. Open talk on this segment if it's your turn. 283-2525 is our number. 283-2525. Getting back to the measles situation, State Representative Daryl Metcalf touting a bill today, his support of a bill that would require doctors to treat unvaccinated kids. He says it's a bill that would protect the rights of parents to make their own informed decision on whether or not to get their kids vaccinated. When the vast majority of doctors around the country and medical experts and the Centers for Disease Control are saying, get your kids vaccinated. That's why we're having all these measles outbreaks in California and New York and in other places. What do you think? 283-2525, our number. It's open talk. Let's get back to the people. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Hi. How you doing? How you doing?
I think you. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
I think people should get their kids vaccinated.
So do I.
In my era, we all got the measles. We got the measles and the chicken pox and all that stuff.
Well, not only that, whenever I was a kid, it's not required anymore, but everybody had to get a smallpox vaccination.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yes, you had to get that to go to school.
Yeah, and if you didn't have it, you couldn't start school, kindergarten or first grade. You had to take a certificate from your doctor's office and give it to the school to get in. Now, so that was mandatory. I mean, so what's the difference? I don't understand.
Well, they have people, you know, people are scared with autism and all the things that have come out. So a lot of people have been frightened off from getting the vaccines, but they don't realize, you know, polio and those types of things. When we were kids, I remember in Pittsburgh at the D.T. Watson or Watson home where, young kids were in iron lungs and
yes.
Yeah, so it was a real blessing when all that stuff come around. Why I called was today in the Butler Eagle on the editorial page, there is a very good editorial on the Mueller report, and it's from Tribune Review, which is certainly not a liberal newspaper for those that don't like liberal newspapers. But I would encourage people to take a look at it. It's a really good really good editorial about reading the Mueller report and drawing your own conclusions.
Can you summarize for us? I have not seen that editorial yet.
Well, he just said it's a very summary, probably what most people hear on television, but he said it's a very even-handed report. It's certainly not a witch hunt report. This guy says that they have all the footnotes of the people they interviewed, and they have backup for all the points that they have made in the report concerning obstruction and collusion.
Mm-hmm.
And he just said it's a very, very good report, but people should try, if they can, they should get a hold of it and try to read it, which he did. So I just thought I'd call in and let people know that it's a very good editorial if you get to Butler Eagle to take a look at it.
I'll check it out. I don't know whether too many people are going to sit down and read the Mueller report, though. It's 400.
No, I don't know either. He said a lot of it is blacked out, of course.
Yeah.
He said some entire pages are all blacked out. So,
well, it's 400 pages long. You know.
Yes.
400
yes.
pages. That's like War and Peace,
yes.
You know.
Yes.
I don't know whether anybody or too many people are going to read it.
I think you can download it online. I'm not good at that stuff, but I think if somebody's bent that way and they want to take a look at it or read this editorial that this man has in it, it's really a good editorial, I think, very even-handed.
I appreciate you calling it to our attention,
okay.
And I will assure you that I'll take a look at it.
Okay, thank you, Dave. Have a good afternoon.
Yeah, thank you. You too. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
283-2525 is our number. Open talk on this segment of It's Your Turn here today. 283-2525. By the way, I want to be fair to Dr. Phil McGraw. He did issue a letter of apology to Slippery Rock, and he said it was, quote, 100% my mistake, end quote. 100% my mistake. If he'd have stopped there, I'd have said, okay. But then to say, and I just made up the name Slippery Rock. I didn't even realize that was a real school. I can't believe he tacked that on to the end of his apology. I find it very difficult to believe. Let's go to this line next. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
About Dr. McGraw.
Yes, Dr. Phil. Yeah.
I think everybody that was a student that graduated from there or anything, they ought to write him a letter. Just there'd be thousands of people that could write a letter and tell him their opinion.
I agree, and I think they ought to start out, Dear Phil McGraw, Dear Dr. Phil, you're a bum. I think that's how they ought to start the letter.
Well, that's up to them, but I'm sure that there's a lot that would feel the same way. And I just thought that would be something if everybody would sit down and write them a letter, just let them know how other people in this country live besides him.
That's a good point. Do you watch that show, by the way? Do you watch Dr. Phil?
Not very often. I don't. It's the wrong time of the day, and I don't watch that much television at daytime.
Uh-huh.
I have other things to do.
It's still on. I sometimes see it because of my work schedule. Because I start so early in the morning. I'm home. I'm home by mid afternoon on most days. And if I turn on the TV, sit down, turn on the TV with a cup of coffee or something, and start flipping through the channels, I know he's still on. I don't know what channel it is.
I don't either. I'm like you. I flip through and find something that I want to watch, but I don't always watch them. But it's just an inconvenient time for me to watch television.
Well, I can't imagine there's going to be too many people in Slippery Rock watching him, for goodness sakes. That's for sure, huh?
Well, that's it. But leave him know how they feel is what I mean.
That's a good point. Good point. Hey, nice to talk with you. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thanks. I enjoy you.
Sure. Oh, thank you for that.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye. 283-2525, our number. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Thanks for waiting. Go right ahead. It's your turn. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, this is Dave. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, Hi, Dave. This is Carolyn Keller.
Hi, Carolyn. Oh, you're calling to talk about the Pittsburgh Philharmonic.
Yes, we're on next.
Yes. Well, just can you hang on? Because I've got to take a break here, and I've got a couple of minutes before I have the other folks in. Can you stay where you are?
No worries. We're happy to wait.
Okay. I'll be with you momentarily. Do we have someone else joining us as well, Carolyn? Do you know?
He is sitting with me, so we'll be using the same line.
Oh, okay. Well, stay where you are, and I'll be back with you here in a few minutes. Should we somehow lose connection, just call me again, okay?
Sounds great. Thanks so much, Dave.
Sure. Okay, let me see if I can get to this line next for a final call or two. Hi, this is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave.
Hi.
I just wanted to tell you a quick story about Slippery Rock and Dr. Phil's maybe not as crazy as we think he is. At the Michigan football games,
uh-huh.
My daughter moved to Michigan and was up there while her sister was in Butler attending Slippery Rock College. So
yeah.
I guess in Ann Arbor, it's been a probably 40, 50-year thing where they announce Slippery Rock scores during halftime for Ann Arbor.
Mm-hmm.
And so my daughter was wearing a Slippery Rock sweatshirt up there working, and people kept stopping her and saying, "Huh, I love your sweatshirt." And she's like, "It's a real college. My sister goes to it." And they said, "No, it isn't. That's a joke that they make at the Arbor football game." And she said, "No, this really is a college in Pennsylvania. My sister attends it." So, you know, I don't think he pulled that name out of a hat, because that would be kind of weird. But the thing is, maybe he had heard that at some point, and the longer she lived up there, the funnier it got. She could have sold that sweatshirt I don't know how many times.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he heard it somewhere. By the way, since then, and that's been a long time ago that they used to announce their scores at halftime, Slippery Rock has actually been invited to play at the University of Michigan Stadium twice. In fact, they were up there just a few years ago.
Several years ago, but I mean, we just found it very funny that, and I told my daughter at Slippery Rock, I said, you know, you need to buy a bunch of sweatshirts and go up there and put a little stand up and say, you know, this really is a real place. But I thought I'd just phone in for a minute and give you that.
I appreciate the information, and nice to talk to you today, too, by the way.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
All righty. Bye-bye. Well, we've got to wrap up our open talk segment here and get ready for our first guests of the day, as we're going to be chatting about the, I believe it's the last event on the Performing Arts Series this school year at Butler County Community College, and that would be the concert by the Pittsburgh Philharmonic. So stick with us. We're going to take a break. We'll be back and bring our guests on here in just a couple of minutes. On the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn on WISR, we'll be back after these words.
Stacks of paperwork piling up around the house? Then let Accurate Solutions Group help get you started with spring cleaning. Simply bring anything you would like to have shredded to their office on South Eberhardt Road in Butler on Saturday, May 4th. Coffee and pastries will be provided, and all attendees will be entered to win a home office shredder. Accurate Solutions Group wants to help you shred through the clutter and start spring off right on Saturday, May 4th from 9 a.m. to noon. Investment advisory services offered through ASG Investment Management, LLC.
Choices, decisions, quality health care. These are important issues that really hit home. It's a good thing that Concordia Visiting Nurses is here to help. Home health care can help you or your loved one recuperate from an illness, manage a chronic disease, or recover from an injury or operation right in your own home. If you're in need of home health care, choose Concordia Visiting Nurses. Call toll-free at 1-877-352-6200.
Attention seafood lovers, crab legs are back on Fridays at Michael's Restaurant, and it's time to think about pampering mom on Mother's Day. Make her feel special by taking her to Michael's Restaurant. On Sundays, Michael's Restaurant features stuffed chicken breast, stuffed pork chops, lasagna, and more. Groups of six or larger, please make reservations.
Welcome back, good friends. It's the Tuesday edition. It's your turn here on WISR, and our first guests will join us next as we talk about an upcoming appearance here in Butler by the Pittsburgh Philharmonic. Let's introduce everybody first of all. Larry Stock is here, the director of the Cultural Center at Suckup Theater in BC3. Larry, good to see you.
It's always great to be here, Dave. Thank you.
Also visiting with us by telephone is Carolyn Keller from the Pittsburgh Philharmonic. And also Scott Woodard. Scott, you can hear us okay, can you not?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah,
thank you so much for having us.
Sure. Well, first of all, let me ask Larry, this is the final event of
yes.
the school year, right?
This is the final concert for the Performing Arts Series for the 2018-19 Performing Arts Series.
And when is the concert?
The concert is going to be Saturday, May 11th at 7:30 p.m.
So that's a week from this Saturday.
A week from this Saturday. Mm-hmm. And we have one other concert in the series, our local artist concert, which is Sunday. We can talk about that later. It's coming up.
Okay. So. Well, let me ask a little bit from Carolyn about the concert coming up on Saturday evening, May 11th. What's on the program, Carolyn?
We have a trip around the world on the program, and Scott can talk more, but we have Tchaikovsky. We have Berlioz. If the audience is gracious, we may even have some Shostakovich for them.
Trip around the world. We need our passports then if we're coming, I guess. Huh? Let me talk with Scott Woodard. You are the guest conductor, Scott?
Yes, yes. I've been coming up for the last 6 weeks. It will be 7 weeks of rehearsal after next week's dress rehearsal. I've just been having a dynamite time with the folks at the PPO. They're a great bunch of folks.
This is the first time that you've conducted the Pittsburgh Philharmonic?
It is. It is. And they're a wonderful organization. A lot of dedicated musicians, folks with lots of other interests in life and other obligations, but they still manage to find time to get together every Monday night and just make some beautiful music.
You said you've been coming up for the past few weeks to rehearse. Coming up from where, Scott?
I live in near Charleston, West Virginia.
And what do you do there? Are you involved with another orchestra down there, or do you teach, or what do you do?
Well, actually, I do all of that. I wear many hats there. I'm the music director of the Charleston Chamber Orchestra, which is housed at West Virginia State University. Mm-hmm. So I'm a professor of music there and also serve as the associate provost and associate VP for academic affairs at West Virginia State.
Oh, wonderful. And that is in Charleston?
It's just west of Charleston, yes.
Mm-hmm. So, a chamber orchestra. What's a chamber orchestra, Scott?
Well, generally, a chamber orchestra is a little bit smaller than a symphony orchestra or a philharmonic, and the literature that an ensemble like that would play would be wouldn't use the full forces of the symphony orchestra. A lot of music from the classical era, Mozart, Haydn, Beethoven, but we cheat a little bit, and we play symphony orchestra literature as well.
Mm-hmm. Mainly strings in a chamber orchestra, or could it vary from place to place?
It could vary. A Beethoven-sized orchestra will also have, in addition to the strings, it will have the full complement of winds, the flutes, oboes, clarinets, bassoons, horns, and trumpets, and usually at least one percussionist.
Well, tell us a little bit about the program for Saturday, May 11th here in Butler. A Tchaikovsky piece, what are you playing?
We're playing his Mammoth Fifth Symphony on the second half of the program. It's just a really wonderful, dynamic piece. The PPO was gracious enough to allow me to choose all the literature, so I chose stuff that was near and dear to my heart. It's a piece that I got to conduct for the first time when I was studying in St. Petersburg, and I'm going to revive here, but it's just a major, major work in Tchaikovsky's canon.
Oh, wait a minute. You were able to study Tchaikovsky in St. Petersburg. Wow, that must have been the dream of a lifetime.
Oh, it was just amazing. I went there twice, as a matter of fact, and was honored to study with professors at the conservatory, the Rimsky-Korsakov Conservatory there, and conductors at the Mariinsky Theater. So my last go-around with Tchaikovsky 5 was at the Mariinsky.
Wow. Is this his Fifth Symphony? Is this well known? Well, most if people heard the opening notes, would they recognize it?
Oh, absolutely! Yeah, particularly the second movement is very well known. But this symphony is, as I said, the fifth. Most folks believe that Tchaikovsky wrote six, but he actually wrote eight symphonies. There are two that weren't numbered, And the last three took an enormous amount of time in his life to compose. They were over a span of about 20 years, and they're just enormous, enormous big works, and they're often said to be the fate symphonies, and Tchaikovsky dealing with his fate and the fate of his country and all kinds of things.
By the way, for folks who are not terribly familiar with classical music, Tchaikovsky, one of the great Russian composers, and when Scott Woodard talked about studying in St. Petersburg, it was not St. Petersburg, Pennsylvania. There is such a place, but we're talking about St. Petersburg,
or
Russia, or that's right, or Florida. St. Petersburg actually was originally called St. Petersburg, and then during the Soviet era, they changed the name to Leningrad, right? Is that right, Scott? Yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. There was a brief period of time during World War One when it was named Petrograd, because it the powers that be thought that it sounded less German than St. Petersburg during the war. So a few years it was Petrograd, and then it became Leningrad during the Soviet era. And in the early 1990s, after the fall of the Soviet Union, the community actually voted to go back to the original name of St. Petersburg.
I was going to ask you if you had any sense of the people that lived there. Were they happy to go back to the original name, St. Petersburg?
Absolutely. I really think they were. There was an enormous movement after the collapse of the Soviet Union to reinvigorate the city center in St. Petersburg. So the artistic center of the city is just absolutely beautiful. It's almost a snapshot from 300 years ago, with all these beautiful gilt palaces, and if you walk a few blocks and it becomes very Soviet-esque.
Mm-hmm.
But the center of the city is just revitalized beautifully.
During the time of the Tsars, when the Tsars ruled Russia, was St. Petersburg the capital? It was.
Well, in the days of the Tsars, Russia really had two capitals, but the imperial capital was after Peter the Great was always considered to be St. Petersburg.
Uh-huh. Okay, wow. So that's the Fifth Symphony. That's going to comprise the entire second portion of the program. That must be rather lengthy then, huh?
It's about a 45-minute work or so.
Okay. And what about the first half of the program on Saturday, May 11th, Scott?
The first half actually will take us around the rest of the world. We spend a good bit of time in Russia in the second half, but we begin in France with the music of Hector Berlioz, and we'll open with the Rakoczy March from his concert opera, The Damnation of Faust, the Hungarian March, as it's sometimes called. We also are really privileged on this concert to debut a piece. We're going to premiere the piece of a local Pittsburgh composer, a young lady by the name of Naomi Sarche. It's a result of the PPO's Young Composers Contest, which I think is just a wonderful program. As you know, composers in today's world have a difficult time getting their music heard. So the PPO reaches out into that community of composers and invites submissions, and Naomi happens to be our winner this year, and she's done a wonderful piece that's programmatic in nature, and it kind of speaks to her journey as a musician and auditioning for graduate school and all the things that come with that. And after we're finished with that piece, we go back across the ocean, and we play a Norwegian composer, Edvard Grieg, and we'll be doing his second Peer Gynt Suite.
Okay, well, I know that name. I'm not too familiar with Berlioz. I don't know any of his works.
Yeah, Symphony Fantastique.
Are you familiar with him?
Right,
yeah,
right.
Symphony Fantastique, and Flip, his opera.
Samson and Delilah?
Yeah, there's been a couple operas.
One of those classical composers that if I heard some of his works, I would recognize him, but I just didn't put a name to them. Yeah.
Now, Berlioz taught us a great deal about orchestral color and orchestration and that kind of thing. His music uses the full forces of the orchestra with great ease.
I want to, I'll come back to you, Scott, in a moment. I want to talk with Karen a little bit about the this competition for composers. Does the Pittsburgh Philharmonic do this every year or occasionally, Carolyn?
For the past 3 years, we've done it every year. We're considering a few changes, but the primary goal of the contest, whether we continue to do it every year or every other year, is to support the work of local composers and provide them an opportunity to have their works performed. So in the process of the competition. We receive applications, and a call goes out early in the summer, and the composers will have the chance to work on these all throughout the year. And then once the submissions are received, they're reviewed by a committee of our members, and the selected finalists are able to bring their pieces in and have the pieces read by the orchestra. They receive a recording of that piece, and it's a really great opportunity for the composers who participate to have that opportunity to build up their digital resume and to have the opportunity to hear their works of music performed, because surprisingly, in today's day and age, it's very hard for composers to find live orchestras willing to perform music that is new and different.
Can you tell
us? So we're very proud of this as an opportunity, and we're hoping to grow it as we move forward in the future.
Can you tell us a little bit about Naomi Charchet? Is she from around this area, or is she studying at some institution here in the Pittsburgh area?
She is. She recently received application to a graduate school to study bass, and she is a part of the Philharmonic. When she put in her submission, she put it under a pseudonym, and it was a big surprise to the orchestra once they read her piece and the adjudication process happened that she was the winner, and we're very proud that she is the principal bassist in our orchestra, and it's been a lot of fun working through rehearsals and learning more about the piece, and great to have that kind of input from a composer who's right there with the orchestra.
A nom de plume, a pseudonym. That adds intrigue to that. That's a fantastic story. It really is.
That's great.
You remember which name she used, Kat? It was a French name.
It was Olivier Brodeur.
Well, probably better that than something like Jane Doe. You may have been a little suspicious. You know? This submission from Jane Doe, a composer. I must say, I didn't realize there were that many people around here locally who are composing music.
Yeah.
Yes, and we reach out to the tri-state area, too. So we reach out to West Virginia and Ohio and the surrounding areas to really provide that opportunity. There are very strong programs at West Virginia University, at University of Pittsburgh, at Carnegie Mellon, and I'm sure there's others in the area as well.
And Duquesne,
yeah. So we're very, very glad to have so many good academic institutions.
Let me talk to Larry Stock for a second here, because there may be some people listening to the radio in the car or whatever who may have to leave us before we wrap up. What about tickets for this upcoming concert by the Pittsburgh Philharmonic?
Okay, you can pick up tickets by calling our box office line at 724-284-8505, or you can go online 24/7 at pc3.edu/suckup-theater. Or there will be tickets available at the door. And we are doing more and more door sales. Every concert I do, well, it's not just with the Pittsburgh Philharmonic, but the events that I do, I've done very well this year on pre-sale, but we're selling more and more at the door. And there's no, you know, a lot of people wait till the last minute to decide. But I encourage people to get their tickets early. So
yeah, today's, you know, most people's schedules are so full that sometimes it's a last-minute decision.
It is tough,
you know,
to
take
make
in a
decision,
concert or something.
But this is going to be a delightful program. I'm so excited about this. It's going to be just such a great, great, great evening.
Let me talk a little bit more with Scott Woodard, who is the guest conductor. Got composer on my mind thinking about Naomi here. Do you do this on a regular basis or on an occasional basis? Scott Woodard, go to other places and conduct?
I do. I do conduct. I don't want to say I'm in demand. That sounds very big headed. but I do conduct outside of Charleston a good deal. I'll be doing some work in Georgia later this year, and I continue to have opportunities to go back overseas and do some work there. But I've been really, really impressed with the artistic scene here in Pittsburgh, and particularly the folks that I've been working with the PPO. They're just such dedicated musicians, and in a lot of ways, I've said this to other folks, I see these community orchestras, civic orchestras, ones just like the PPO, in many ways being the future of classical music in our country, you know, as the larger orchestras are having difficulty with funding and all that kind of thing. We're seeing orchestras close their doors every day, and organizations like the PPO are going to keep classical music alive for us, I do believe.
Carolyn Keller, where do the musicians in the Pittsburgh Philharmonic Orchestra come from? Are they all local folks? Do they have other jobs? Tell us about that.
Yes, they're all local, but all come from all over. So we rehearse in Wexford currently, and we have two performance venues. One is Quaker Valley, that's our Friday night performance, and then, of course, Suckup Theater, which is our Saturday night performance venue. But our musicians come from areas in Ohio. Some live out towards the Monroeville area. Some are out near Turtle Creek. So we really do attract a wide variety of musicians who live in many areas around the Pittsburgh region. And we're very glad to have that reputation to attract such dedicated and wonderful musicians. Our musicians are about 60% community members who are businessmen and women, who are lawyers or engineers or doctors, and who really have a passion for music. And then the other 40% are professional musicians who teach and play in the Pittsburgh area, and we're very, very lucky to have such a wonderful collection of people who come together to make good music.
I've talked to a number of high school music teachers over the years and band directors who relish the opportunity to get out and perform once in a while because, you know, they're so busy teaching they don't have the opportunity to do that very often.
Yes, and we're always open door for musicians who are looking for places to play. We always have a need in our string section, but we are very, very open to any musicians who are interested in joining our ranks. Children in the summer, we have a program which is a side-by-side for students in middle school and high school who audition and then have the chance to perform with the Philharmonic for the summer. And if they have an enjoyable experience, some of them have even joined us and stayed on for the regular season, which has been wonderful to see those young musicians grow and foster that love of music.
How big is the Pittsburgh Philharmonic, Carolyn?
Currently, we have about 45 members.
And would the bulk of them be strings, or?
A larger percentage are strings, yeah.
Strangely, in our organization, we do have a good amount of violins, although the violins usually outnumber other string players in the section, but we have a very strong viola section, and they really bring the thunder.
I'm trying to remember from my music appreciation classes, we have the violin, the smallest of the string instruments, and then we go to the viola, mm-hmm. and then to the cello, right. would be mm-hmm. next, and then is the bass? Is that the biggest right. one?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The biggest one, that's the one you need a permit to travel with. Monstrosity, yeah. But
you buy your car around that instrument.
Yeah, that's true. But there are woodwinds as well, Carolyn, in the Pittsburgh Philharmonic?
There are. We have very strong woodwinds who are all very dedicated, and we have a really great brass section, too, and I think they're having a really great time.
I think they love this literature, yeah.
So brass would be your trumpets and your French horns, I suppose, yeah. huh?
Trumpets, horns, trombones, even a tuba on this program.
Oh, nice. Excellent. Well, you got to get that. Got to get that beat going with the tuba. The sousaphone is the marching tuba, right? Invented by John Philip Sousa, so you could march in a marching band right. and still carry this instrument. They wrapped it around the person's head.
Yep. Yeah.
Not only an instrument, it's a piece of clothing as well.
That's true. Well, Scott, it will certainly be nice to welcome you to Butler. Carolyn, I think the modus operandi of the Pittsburgh Philharmonic for some years now has been you prepare X number of programs each year, and then once you get the program rehearsed and ready to go, you perform it twice, once in the Pittsburgh area and then once here in Butler.
Yep.
Correct, yeah. And we've really enjoyed being welcomed up to Butler by all the wonderful audience members that come and support us at BC3.
Well, it's a pretty nice venue. Scott Woodard, have you ever seen the Suckup Theater before? Do you know where you're coming to on May the 11th?
No, I've only done my due diligence by looking it up on the internet. I've never been inside the facility, but I hear great things from the folks in the PPO, so I'm excited to be there.
I'm not an expert on theater architecture or acoustics, but I love the place because it's not too big and it's not too small.
Yeah.
It's what, like 500 seats?
It was 442 seats, and it's very intimate. It's only 75 feet from the back wall to the stage.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I like, they paid a lot of attention to the acoustics when they built the place. And so you hear every nuance. I mean, we always, when we do the Pittsburgh Philharmonic, it's always unamplified. There's no microphones.
Don't use microphones.
And
don't.
You can hear every nuance of every instrument, from the oboe to the piccolo to the flute to the clarinet to the cello to the everything you can hear, the whole thing, the triangle. I mean, you can hear every nuance of everything coming out of off that stage.
Hmm.
And it just sounds amazing. It's right there in your face. It's just it's an amazing, amazing sound.
Well, Scott, what did we...
I like that you call it nuance. The musicians are always the harshest critics of themselves. And when we always go, the sound is so crisp, we hear all of our mistakes. I'm glad that translates much better into the audience.
Oh, it always sounds terrific. It always does.
Well, many people wouldn't even recognize them, actually. To me, it's the thrill of... I mean, sure, you can listen on a CD or these days, on disc if you, hard drive if you so desire. I still prefer CD myself for the convenience of it. But there's nothing like actually being there seeing Tchaikovsky performed live, seeing and hearing it live.
And being in an audience with 100, 200, 300 other people listening to this being performed, and it's a live event, it's a live entertainment. That's what I tell my students. It's live entertainment. It was never going to go away. Because you cannot match the experience in front of your computer at home, actually being at a concert, listening to something performed live.
I agree. Well, Scott,
No matter how many times we listen to that CD, that performance will always be the same in the concert hall. You know, the musicians bring with them their experiences and what's happening to them that day and in that moment, and the audience brings the same. It's a very organic kind of experience where we interact with one another through music, so there's just absolutely nothing like live performance. And I'm happy to hear about the theater. I like a hall where it's intimate enough that you can reach out and engage with the audience as well. So that sounds like where we're coming.
Very good,
excellent. Scott Woodard is the guest conductor. And by the way, Scott mentioned that he travels occasionally to do this. That's pretty common, even among the most famous orchestras in the world. When you talk about world-class symphonies, whether it's Pittsburgh Symphony or some of the European symphonies, they very often will have guest conductors at times, right, Scott Woodard?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we live in an age, really, of the jet-set conductor who might conduct in Pittsburgh today and in Japan tomorrow and in Vienna the next day, and that's really the life of a conductor in today's world.
Well, nice to meet you, and we will certainly welcome you to Butler, Scott Woodard, the evening of Saturday, May 11th. It'll be nice to have you here.
Thank you so much for your time, and thank you, listeners, as well.
Sure, and Carolyn Keller, good to talk with you again. Carolyn, nice to have you with us.
Yeah, always. Thank you so much.
All righty, we'll say goodbye to them. I have a couple of more things to talk about with Larry Stock here today, and I'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back and review those items in a moment. You're listening to the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn on WISR. We will be right back after these messages.
If you're struggling to find a gym that's right for you, try the Fitness Center at Applewood Chiropractic. You don't have to be a chiropractic patient, and it's the only executive-level fitness center in Butler. Open 7 days a week, the Fitness Center provides a clean, safe, unintimidating environment with modern equipment, fitness classes, and a full-time staff to assist you. Call 724-283-8894 or visit applewoodchiro.com. Applewood Chiropractic Health and Fitness Center, Thornapple Drive, Butler.
In 2019, Tri-River celebrates 25 years as your Butler neighbor, providing exceptional musculoskeletal care in the community.
Hi, I'm Dr. Tom Mazzanegro, known by many as Dr. Muzzy, and I'm an orthopedic hip and knee surgeon. Patients do best when they are engaged with the process, educated, and invested in their own well-being. At Tri-Rivers, the patient is at the center of everything we do.
To learn more or to schedule an appointment, visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
Welcome back. Larry Stock is still here. He's the director of the Cultural Center at BC3, the Suckup Theater Complex. Well, we have the Pittsburgh Philharmonic a week from Saturday. That's Saturday, May 11th. But there is also an event coming up this weekend.
This coming Sunday. My final local artist series concert. And that's going to be with Butler's own Vince Tavolario. And if you ever remember going to these old summer concert series at BC3,
mm-hmm.
Vince was always a staple there. He came. He used to do this at least once. He was there most every summer. And who could forget his renditions of Hey Mama in half in Italian and half in English. And then doing his New York, New York version of that. Vince is a very talented musician.
People may not realize that. They may know him from his restaurant, yeah, the Tealy North, or the pizza shop right next door. Obviously, he knows food. He is a very talented musician.
Yeah, he graduated from the Conservatory of Music in Cincinnati, and he is amazing. And he's a very talented pianist and performer.
And singer. Composer, by the way.
Oh, I know,
He's written some songs.
Yeah, I know he has, yeah. So I'm looking forward to having Vince. I haven't had him for a number of years. So we're bringing him in for their final local artist series concert for the season. And that's going to be Sunday at 2 p.m. And tickets are still available. Again, you can call our box office line at 724-284-8505. Or go online at bc3.edu/suckup-theater. Or you can pick them up at the door. There will be tickets available at the door.
I wonder if he'll take requests. By the way, that's this Sunday, folks.
Yes, this Sunday.
You may not realize that that's
May.
This Sunday
here.
Is May already. But yeah, May 5th, this Sunday, 2 o'clock?
2 o'clock, yes.
Wonder
yes.
if we could persuade him to do New York, New York. I'd love to
hear
Vince do
that. I know he will.
Ba-ba-da-da-da.
He always ends his show with that, usually. So, yeah, Vince is a great guy, and you know, I missed hearing him play at his old, big restaurant downtown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he used to be down there pretty much every weekend.
Yeah, he would perform down there. So I'm looking forward to hearing Vince again. He's just a great guy.
You know, when Michelle Pach came to Butler a few years back to do a performance, the Broadway star Michelle Pach, she had Vince serve as her accompanist. Yeah,
and he was a nervous wreck about it, but he did a beautiful job. But yeah. That was a great concert. That was a great evening with Michelle and Vince. So that was fun. But yeah, it's going to be a good afternoon of music, and a good way to kind of wind up the spring and end our series for this local artist series. And then I'm really looking forward to the Philharmonic concert on the 11th. It's going to be really a good program. So
you conjure up some memories when you mention the old summer series.
Oh, yeah. We had so much fun with that. With Margot Pitts.
It
started
on
that.
For many, many years.
Then my sister took it over. Maggie Stock took it over. And, and then she retired, and it kind of went away.
Well, but now we have Suckup Theater,
so we
can do a lot of the stuff that we used to have to do outdoors. Yeah. We can do it inside the Suckup.
Yeah, in fact, we had moved the summer series into the Suckup Theater the last couple of years because it was so problematic. I mean, it was a lovely thing to be outside, but you had to deal with bugs and weather and sun and rain and snow and sleet and whatever. And you had to deal with all of the weather conditions, and then you had to reinvent the wheel. Because out in the forum, there was nothing there, so you had to drag everything out and set it up.
Including a piano.
Yeah, and then you had rain. It would start to rain. You had to move everything into the Founders Hall. And it was just problematic. So when the Suckup Theater opened, it was like they back up, plug, pull out their gear, plug it in, and it's ready to go. It was kind of a no-brainer to do that. It just made... especially since it was a free concert series, it was, and then as things got tighter budget wise, we just had to wind up eliminating that series. But
it was fun though. I do remember.
Oh, it was.
I remember
it
fondly,
even
back in the days when the late Margot Pitts organized it.
And oh yeah,
it was kind of a early Sunday evening staple during the summer.
Oh, it was. And so when we started that, and that was at one point there had been more summer concerts than there had been commencements at BC3. And when it started, nobody was doing summer concerts. When we ended it out there, every night of the week, you could go to a free concert in Butler County. I mean, there all these new free concerts had come up. And it was like, okay, we're competing with a lot of things right now. So
kind of lost its uniqueness.
It did. It did. And it served its purpose in its time.
Okay. Once again, tickets for either Vince Tavolario this Sunday. Vince Tavolario and friends. Sunday afternoon, that's 2 o'clock, this coming Sunday afternoon, or for the Pittsburgh Philharmonic, Saturday, May 11th at 7:30 p.m. That's a week from Saturday. For tickets?
Tickets, once again, you can call our box office line, 724-284-8505. And once again, I'll remind you, please leave a message. We will get back to you. We do not have operators standing by like Time Life magazine. We don't have everybody standing there waiting in line to answer the phone. There's only a couple of us that answer the phone. So we will get back to you if you leave a message.
Good to see you.
And then you can get them at the door as well and online.
Good to see you, Larry.
Thank you, Dave, and I appreciate your help.
Program note, Pirate Baseball is back tonight. The Pirates had an off day yesterday, and they'll try to break out of their slump tonight in Texas against the Rangers. Airtime, it's Central Time Zone, so it'll be an hour later than usual. 7:40 is airtime for Pirate Warm-Up tonight here on WISR. I'm Dave Malarkey. We'll see you tomorrow for the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
Like a man on a fuzzy tree. My friends say I'm acting wild as a bug. I'm in love. I'm all shook up.